There will be spoilers ahead. Lots of spoilers, so be careful, won't you?
So, Max, I have this crazy plan to net us a huge pile of cash. It's going to sound nuts, but I swear I've looked at all the angles and we simply can't lose. What if we steal the Brooklyn Bridge? Wait. Hear me out. We don't just steal it. We replace it with an exact duplicate. I have a buyer for the real one, which will pay us a fortune, and it'll be totally safe. Nothing can go wrong. They'll pay us in encrypted currency, the thing that kids are all talking about, you know that? Look, I know my last scheme to sell shares in Bumpy Bucks kind of backfired, but who could have known that someone would actually ask to see the bucks? This time, I've got the papier-mâché, I've got the crew to do the old switcheroo, and I've got another episode of Max Mike Movies! We've got a big episode today as we're midway through our series. This is a good place for a stick-up. We're taking a look at the heist movie, The Art of the Steal, starring Kurt Russell, Kevin Dillon, Jay Baruchel, Terrence Stamp, and more. Speaking of stars, here's our host, Max, don't steal my pants, Levine. Oh, looks like you're too late there, Max. Just say hi.
Damn it! They were here a second ago.
He says that every week. I'm just the co-hostess with the mostest, Mike Jungle Boy Luce. As is always the case, before we get to the movie, we get to you.
Poll question.
Last episode's query was, what cinematic pairing have you not seen that you'd really like to? Here's what y'all said. Let's start with the mailbag and our old pal, Bill O'Lading Max.
Bill O'Lading, Bill O'Lading, Bill O'Lading.
He loves that.
I do. Oh, faith and Gomorrah, the saints add preservatives to us.
Wurra, 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 Mr. McMiser.
Mr. McMiser.
Boy, that's such a deeper, I'm not even sure you know where that's from.
I do. It was a cartoon. Was it Casper?
It was a Casper cartoon.
Okay.
Anyway, Bill O'Lading wrote, quote, I was checking up different pairings and was surprised to discover that Johnny Depp, Keanu Reeves, and Timothy Chalamet have never shared the screen with each other. I'd like to see a pairing of any of these three. They all have interesting perspectives they always bring to roles, and they can all do comedy and drama. Reeves and Depp often competed for roles in the earlier days. Something fantasy, something dark. They both excel with that. And Chalamet into the mix, and I'm sold, end quote. Well, that is quite the three-way right there, wow. I can tell you.
Could you put it another way?
No time for that. Thanks, Bill. Sliding into the website, we have Vince, Quebec's answer to Werner Herzog. Oh, wait. Did they
was
need
that a question?
An answer to Werner Herzog? Anyway, he sent, quote, Helen Mirren, Helen Mirren, and Meryl Streep. Meryl Streep? Yep. Might be interesting. Elijah Wood and Daniel Radcliffe, mostly because they made it big with huge franchises and then went on to really push themselves as actors and promote projects regardless if they were commercial or not. They might find a really weird and fun project together. Of course, Sybil Danning and Carolyn Monroe never made a film together. They could be evil wardens in a women's prison. Sybil has experience in that role. Or super spies that run around getting into car chases and gunfights that we never get a hint of as to why, and it ends in a funny quip and a huge explosion, end quote. I think you just made a movie, Vince. Thank you.
I'd see that movie.
I think it's too late, but that's okay. Meanwhile, back on Facebook.
Baby.
We have Byron Ho, who wrote, quote, Scar and the main six from My Little Pony Friendship is Magic in place of the hyenas, end quote.
That would be great. Oh, hello. Crunch, chomp, eat.
Yeah, I don't think the ponies would last very long, but anyway.
Well,
thanks, Byron.
Can fly.
Dave said, quote, we've been doing that for like 300 episodes and neither of us knows why. Anyway,
no, it just
Dave
works.
Said, quote, Bobcat Goldthwait and Matthew Lillard in a bro film. Maybe I would add Joe Tippett and Tony Shalhoub and have them remake Glengarry Glen Ross, end quote.
Oh, God.
That's a...
No! Coffee is for closers!
That's a really interesting idea. I never would have
I would actually...
That.
I would be really interested to see. I mean, if you would have Bob... If you'd have Robert Goldthwait... Would that be as him or doing the Bobcat character?
I'm sorry, Robert Goldthwait?
Yeah, that's what he calls himself for the most part now. When he became a director, Bobcat was his stand-up persona.
Oh, okay.
And the only reason anyone knows who he is.
Okay, well, yes. Whatever you asked or said, yes, sure.
Yeah. Okay.
Thanks, Dave. Brian Mundo managed to skip Fifth Element in his answer. He stated, quote, Lucille Ball and Robin Williams. I would just love this, end quote.
Oh, wow.
The question could she keep from killing him?
I don't know. She was such a control freak.
Mm-hmm. But wow. Still, the energy from those two?
That would be something. If they could, if they could get through a scene.
Yeah, and never mind, come back to life. Well
details.
Yeah. Well, thanks, Brian. Charles Forsythe's answer went, quote, imagine a high-energy international thriller featuring two characters pitted against each other. Maybe rivals for a goal, or maybe one is trying to catch the other. This could be a Christopher Nolan film. I would say the dream pairing would be Tom Cruise and Leonardo DiCaprio. It's never going to happen because Cruise requires way too much control over the films he stars in. He would never just act in a movie directed by someone like Nolan. Bonus dead pairing, a noir thriller starring Marilyn Monroe and James Dean, end quote.
Ooh.
Not sure I want the former, but I really want the latter.
The problem is, I don't know if Marilyn Monroe could hold her own on screen with James Dean. Toward the end of her career, she was coming into her own as an actor.
But remember when we did Some Like It Hot and both of us were like, there's a lot more depth and skill here than I think most people remember as an actor, not just a visual.
That's a good point.
I think that would be cool.
I would totally see that.
Well,
those of you making AI movies, don't do that.
Yeah, but still, thanks, Charles.
Yeah.
Nick Hoffman posted, quote, Oliver Reed and Peter O'Toole own a pub, end quote. Thing is, would they ever leave?
No, they would drink their own inventory dry.
Yeah, but thanks, Nick.
That would be fun, though, those two.
Oh, wow. It's sort of like My Drunkard with Andre or something.
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah. Well, lastly, we have the hotline, and it's Queen Doris Hempelmeyer. Calm down, Max. I'm sure she says something dirty to you.
Oh, yeah. Talk slow, Doris.
Hello, Max Mike Movies. Hi, Max. This is Doris Hempelmeyer here to answer your poll question, which just happens to be, what on-screen acting team-up would you like to see that you haven't seen yet? That's a great question. I'm going to go with something kind of unusual. Bear with me. I am thinking David Tennant and Daniel Craig. The reason I picked these two is because I think they are great actors all the way around. They can do funny, they can do serious, they can do anything. And how fun would it be to see the two of them up either together or even against each other? You know, antagonist, protagonist kind of thing? Anyway, that's the answer I'm going with. I am so glad to hear you back in the airwaves or pod waves or whatever you call them. It's so wonderful to hear you guys again. I missed you. Of course, I didn't miss Max because, Anyway, have a wonderful week, and I hope to hear you next week. Bye. Bye, Max.
Wow.
James Bond and Doctor Who. I can see it.
I would love to see those two do a straight comedy like a remake of Dumb and Dumber. Seriously.
Oh, God.
Wouldn't you go see that? Dumb and Dumber with Daniel Craig and David Tennant?
I don't know. I hated the original Dumb and Dumber.
That's why I would go see it, because I bet they would be funny.
Okay. That could work. I would rather see them as like a quippy couple, but yeah, I bet they could play off each other really well.
Oh, God, those two as a couple. Oh, man.
Can you imagine that? Like, it turns out, I don't know, David Tennant becomes Benoit Blanc's boyfriend.
Well, don't you remember that in, what is
Glass Onion?
No. The TV show where he's with Michael Sheen.
Good Omens?
Good Omens. Mm. There's a lot of subtext with David Tennant and Michael Sheen's character in that.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
He could totally do it. So, yeah. Well, thanks, Doris. Whew.
Yeah.
It gave me something to dream about. What is your cinematic dream pair?
One is living, one isn't. I would love to have seen Ian McKellen and Diana Rigg together.
Oh.
Both at their peaks,
Now, wait. So you're talking Emma Peel?
Yeah. Era? Yep.
What
I'm
would
talking
those,
Emma Peel, Midsummer Night's
like,
Dream.
Oh, yes, she's still here. Yes, oh, lovely woman, I suppose, if you like that sort of thing. I
she
know,
was a Shakespearean actor, too.
When she was Emma Peel, she wasn't doing Shakespeare. She was like Julie Newmar in Batman. You just were, even I appreciated Emma Peel.
It was right around that time that she did Midsummer Night's Dream, though.
Oh, never saw it.
She played Helena in it.
Oh, yeah?
And she does a great job. Mostly because they got a very short woman to play Hermia, and the whole thing is, though she is little, she is fierce.
Like the Shut Up Mapes?
Kind of.
Did she have the urge to manage?
Ah, I am Hermia!
No, yeah, it didn't work. Sure, yeah.
What about you? Who
what
would
about
you
me?
See?
I'm going to go with Phyllis Diller and Sir Laurence Olivier, because I think...
Okay, that... No. Oh, boy. No, hang on, now that's all I can think of.
Really? I did that as a joke. That's not even my choice.
If they paid him enough, he would do it. You know, he always said, he never said no to a movie script if the money was good.
Would he say no to Phyllis Diller?
They might have to pay him a little extra, but...
What could those two possibly have to talk to about each other about?
I know. God,
No, my choice was Mahershala Ali and Gary Oldman.
Oh, wow.
I would love to see those
two
together.
Oh, man, those
two
would be amazing together.
Because Ali has shown...
they can do anything. They can just, you know, they're like, both of them can just disappear in the character. You could give them anything to do.
I know, and I would just love to see them, I don't know, opposite each other, working together. I don't know. I would just love to see those two people together. I think
that's a
great
pairing. As were so all of the others you guys gave us.
Yeah, thank you for all those answers. We love them. So much so, we'd like you to send us some answers to which actor do you think just doesn't get enough work? Who have you seen just too little of on the big screen? We'll go over that again at the end of the show, but now...
The facts.
The art of the steal. Budget. Well, that's anyone's guess, but an estimate is between $5 and $10 million. No.
Oh.
$5 limit, poker face. But an estimate is between $5 and $10 million. Take. Well, that was more reported. Seems it only stole about $2.2 million from our hearts. That's a double oops. Yeah.
Oh, dear.
Hey, Max, when is Canada not Canada?
What? Canada is always Canada. It's where everything is. Canada is Budapest. Canada is Boston. Canada is New York, Los Angeles, Paris.
Nope. When the airport scene with Guy arriving in Canada was shot in Amsterdam. Well, there's a twist.
Well, oh, sure. That's a lot easier. What?
Especially since they did shoot this film in Canada. We'll get back to that.
A bit. Yeah. What? What?
Okay. I don't know, but that's what they did. The airport was Amsterdam.
Sure.
So, if you're a bad movie buff, you might have caught a very subtle joke when Nikki makes a comment about Crunch now being a wizard because Francie, played by Jay Baruchel, is his apprentice. Yeah. Well, Jay played that role in the Nick Cage film, The Sorcerer's Apprentice. Yay!
Opposite Nick Cage.
I hope you didn't see it, because I did.
I did see it.
Oh, dear. Yeah, it was awful. Yeah.
I'm going to teach you magic. Right now!
Yeah.
So I'm a wizard!
Yeah, you're a wizard, Harry. When is Warsaw not Warsaw?
Oh, when it's Budapest.
Yes! Oh, Max gets a big fat gold star. That is in fact correct.
One of those, they shot like the one church, the one building in Budapest I recognize from other movies.
Yeah, I should recognize it because I've been there, but oh well.
Yeah, I have not, but I was like, hey, wait a minute, that's not Warsaw.
I actually don't know anything about what Warsaw looks like, but it's fine. Yeah. They were gambling on that, actually.
Yeah, insert Polish joke here.
Yeah. Max, I just want to let you know, you're safe. There is no real musical. Witness!
Oh,
I know you were worried about
that. You sure?
Yes.
I was worried about it because, let's face it, I would be a natural to play the Amish patriarch.
And why do you conclude this?
Because all I'd have to do is shave off my mustache.
Sure.
Yep.
You have to wear the funny hat, though.
That's all it. I have to wear the funny hat and no buttons, but I could say, you know, you watch out for those English.
I forget.
See?
Who's the
flawless.
Actress? Who was the actress in that film that flashed her yummies? I can't remember.
No, that was Kelly McGillis, I think.
Oh, okay. Yeah. That was a necessary scene.
It
proves that the Amish have breasts. Okay.
I didn't think they were allowed to, but that was the first movie I saw where I went, Maybe Harrison Ford can act.
Well, you remember we were together when we saw it.
Yes, we did. Yeah, we saw it in England.
Yep, in 1985. Mm-hmm. As with most major hits, this film had a couple of aliases, which is always a good sign. It was almost called The Black Marks or The Fix. I didn't know it was broken. There was a book by the same title as this film, though it had nothing to do with this movie.
The Mona Lisa. Oh, I know Donald Trump wrote it, right?
No. Nothing to do with this movie, The Mona Lisa, A Gospel of James, or any such thing. It did have to do with a price-fixing scandal between auction houses Christie's and Sotheby's. Oh. Yes, they did, and yes, they were caught. The subplot...
I'm shocked.
Shocked, I tell you. Yeah, well... The subplot involving the theft of the supposed original Gospel of James and the subsequent sales of its fakes, which is based on a conspiracy theory that the theft of the Mona Lisa was actually only committed so that a forger could secretly sell copies to an unsuspecting dupe, came from a book called The Vanished Smile. That book retells the story of when the Mona Lisa was actually stolen in 1911 by an Italian glazier from the Louvre.
Not a carpenter?
Nope. Well,
they got it wrong.
To be fair, he did carpentry. He did odd jobs, but he worked for the Louvre. But he also actually, he was the one who made the case, the glass case that went around the Mona Lisa. So he knew all about how it was hung and how to get the case down and all that stuff. So,
okay.
Yeah. Huh. Highest price paid for a Gutenberg Bible was $5.4 million. So the supposed Gospel of James would be a good deal less. The most ever paid for a single book was $34 million paid by Bill Gates for Da Vinci's Codex Leicester.
Paid that much money for the Da Vinci Code? Really?
I know, and Dan Brown, it's like you get it on any street corner.
Seriously.
Silly Bill.
Silly, silly Gatey.
Gauguin's works are not priceless. $300 million is the top price for one of his best works. The one shown in the movie is not one of his best works. Never mind. Not one of his biggest works, but yeah.
What about the pointillism guy?
Surratt? Not
Surratt.
Lower.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay,
especially Surratt, something that Surratt.
I love that movie. Now, if we're looking for a painting that's a bit closer to priceless, you'd want to go to the supposed Da Vinci painting, Salvator Mundi. It fetched $450 million, bought by a Saudi prince, and then it disappeared. Wow. There's a big controversy as to whether or not it's by Da Vinci. There's a number of people who are like, well, even if it was, it ain't no more because it's been nearly restored out of itself. But
they're speculating,
no, it's probably not. But hey, $450 million is $450 million. That's about it for trivia. There wasn't even the usual so-and-so is considered for the part of Mr. Blah-Blah or the aspect ratio was supposed to be X, but was Y. Seems this film flew under the radar in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
Do you have any trivia?
Only that the Gospel of James is a real book.
Sure.
I mean, it exists. It's just not considered authentic or historically reliable by the church.
Well, now
for,
I did
for one very important reason.
Well, go ahead. I looked up this stuff too.
Yeah, I bet you. Yeah, I bet you know. And that is, James is supposed to be the brother of Jesus, which kind of puts the kibosh on the idea of Mary being perpetually a virgin.
Right. Well. Yeah. The other thing, too, is that the book was supposedly written, but didn't show up till about 150 years after the death of Jebus.
Okay.
So they're like, and there was a few cultural things, especially Jewish rituals and stuff like that, that they got wrong in the book. So they're is probably not true. But there are some things in there, like the idea that there was never any sex between Mary or it was all supernatural. That came apparently from the book of James, but... Anyway, we'll get to the plot.
But otherwise, I got nothing.
The plot. Crunch Slackjaw. Oh, sorry. Crunch Calhoun.
Who I think is a Speed Racer villain.
Nope.
Oh.
But he was part of a gang of thieves who specialized in stealing paintings and substituting them with cleverly made fakes. But Crunch's half-brother, Nicky Calhoun, accidentally pulls on a painting he's told not to. Alarms go off, and the gang is suddenly being chased down. Nicky gets caught, but sells out his brother so he won't have to go to prison. 7 years later, and Crunch is out, trying to make a living by failing to jump a motorcycle over and through things. For pennies. Well, Nicky comes along with a plan. Seems there's this amazing version of The Gospel by James, an original and lesser-known book printed by Gutenberg himself, and wowie zowie, if they could get a hold of that, it sure would be keen. But Crunch ain't interested. It takes his whole old team, his wife and new apprentice, to convince him that the scam is actually worth doing and with little risk. And, well, it is. But Nikki has one more idea. What if, instead of giving the book to the buyer, they tip off the museum that has the book that it's been stolen, theirs has been replaced with a copy, and they then secretly sell copies to other interested buyers? Well, that would be more money now, wouldn't it? Seems flawless. Until Nikki goes off to the side to basically screw his brother and the rest of the team again. Oh, Nikki. Will he get away with it? Will Crunch take the fall again? And will we be along for the ride? Do stay tuned.
The film.
Yeah, since this film is still relatively recent, let's clang the old klaxon as a reminder that there will be, in fact, spoilers.
Auga! Auga!
I have the thing. That's a sound bit. I don't.
I bet mine's better.
It isn't.
Spoiler. 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 Spoiler.
Partially because ours says spoiler. The whole point of the klaxon.
Auga is spoiler in Swahili.
Nobody who listens to our show speaks Swahili.
You don't know that.
I do. And we are not married. So, usual question, Max. Have you heard of this film before it got suggested by one of our listeners?
No, I have not heard of it before or since.
Funny that.
I've talked to other people and none of them have heard of it either.
No, totally under the radar. Which is interesting. But so I can't ask you if you saw it and if you liked it in the first place, because you just saw it for the show, right?
Exactly.
Well, I appreciated the suggestion because a lot of the films that were on the list are, let's face it, films we've either seen many times or have seen at least once. You know, Ocean's 11, which we've done for the show, stuff like that. Charade, which is technically not really a heist, but that's okay. So it was nice to have something new, something I hadn't seen before. But there are things in here we have seen many times before, and top of that pile would be Kurt Russell.
We have seen many, many Kurt Russell.
I like Kurt Russell.
Kurt Russell is awesome. I was thinking we might want to consider doing a series just on him.
It would include the Computer Wore Tennis Shoes and Strongest Man in the World.
Absolutely. We would have to go back to the his original Disney stuff.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yep.
Maybe. He's in that show on Apple TV, Monarch Legacy of Monsters.
Yes,
and
he is.
You know what? He's still Kurt Russell, and it's actually fun. I like him. He's grouchy old Kurt Russell, but he's still out there Kurt Russelling, and good for him.
I have always admired the fact that he knows exactly what he can do, and he doesn't pretend he can do anything else. He's not going out there going, I want to do Shakespeare. I want to be, yeah. Can you imagine that? That would
be bad. No.
That would hurt quite a lot. He knows Keanu exactly Reeves. What he can. Yeah.
I'm sorry, Keanu. I'm sorry. I know you're a really nice person, but your one attempt that I saw at Shakespeare was not good.
No.
So, yeah, he plays Crunch Calhoun, who is the now ex-thief guy. Now he says, oh, well, I won't steal. I'll instead be Evil Knievel. Okay.
Yeah, so, you're sure. That's a natural career progression.
Yeah. And sadly makes more money by failing than he does by completing his jumps.
Yeah, and in a huge plot twist, which no one could have seen coming, you have this former crook who is pulled back in for one last job.
Yeah.
My God, where did they get that?
Well, I don't know.
Yeah.
I've never seen it before.
No, never.
Next, so we got him. We have the, quite honestly, the inspiration for this week's poll question, Jay Baruchel. I really like Jay Baruchel.
He is very good if you give him the right part.
Well, I don't blame him for Sorcerer's Apprentice. That wasn't his fault.
That wasn't his fault. I'm sure they waved a lot of money at him.
So I told Max this ahead of the show. Did you watch through at least the mid-credits? Because there's some outtakes.
I did.
He does some ad-libbing for stuff, like when he's in that Amish beard at the Great Crossing. He's funny. He's really funny. And it's obvious.
He is.
At one point he says something that just gets Kurt Russell's just laughing his ass off. And it's like, I like him.
He also does great voice work. He was terrific in the How to Train Your Dragon movies.
Yep.
Even just the way the lines that wouldn't work except for the way he delivers them, you know, thanks for nothing, you useless stupid reptile.
Yeah.
Perfect.
I just like Jay Baruchel, and I like him in this. He doesn't have a lot to do, but he plays his part great. And when he gets that little spotlight when he's trying to protect said that he's in Witness the Musical crossing the Canadian border into Detroit. He's really funny. I really like him. So, mm-hmm. Yeah. Catherine Winnick as Lola. What Lola wants, Lola gets, well, I guess.
You know, I heard she was a showgirl with yellow feathers in her hair. And
her dress cut down to there. Yeah. She doesn't have a lot to do, but she's fine.
Yeah.
Do you know her from anything?
Not a thing.
Okay.
Apparently, she was on a show I watched a lot of, which was Bones. She played one of David Boreanaz's girlfriends. I have no memory of her.
Oh. Well, she was fine in this. Then we have Chris Diamantopoulos, who's thoroughly unscrupulous.
Yeah, and he'll hit you from top to bottomus.
No, he plays Guy de Cornette. He is the arch forger. I think he's fun. He does not have a big part, but he's fun and he's French.
Diamantopoulos. French, is it?
Yeah. Sure. Why not? I mean, as far as I can tell, he does a good French accent, because what the hell do I know? So we have Jason Jones in the utterly thankless part of Interpol agent Bick.
Him I did know.
I didn't know him from anything, but, you know, what a thankless part, because he's got to basically be the, quote, I guess, bad guy, but also the stooge. And he's playing opposite Terrence Stamp. That's just mean. Oh, my God.
That is just cruel. I mean, he manages, but the problem is every time he's with Terrence Stamp, it's like they're in two different movies.
Yeah, kind of.
Yeah. Now, I know him from The Daily Show and from Samantha Bee's talk show. I think he's her husband.
I liked their pairing, because it's so obvious that the only thing that Agent Bick has to control Terrence Stamp's character with is the fact that he's literally the person who can sign off on his parole. That's it. And there's literally nothing else that this guy has over the Terrence Stamp character. And Terrence Stamp... I mean, we're skipping ahead for Terrence Stamp, but Terrence Stamp is just wonderful.
He is way too cool to be in this movie. He gets all the best lines. And quite honestly, it's kind of sad to watch it with Jason Jones, because he is so dominated by Terrence Stamp. And mostly what Terrence Stamp does is sit there and look tired. And he still blows him off the screen.
I forget, was his line, "Their father was the Johnny Appleseed of sperm"?
No, that was, I think that was Patty.
That was Patty.
Patty said that,
At this time, that was one of my favorite lines. That's revolting.
Yeah.
Because somebody actually questioned, this is a good question to ask, "They're brothers?"
Yeah.
It's my first note.
We got Matt Dillon.
Oh, wait, we skipped over Kenneth Walsh.
Yeah, but it sort of works, because we're talking about them as brothers.
Well, that's fine.
Matt Dillon is supposed to be Kurt Russell's brother.
Half brother.
That's some interesting genetics.
Sure. And there's Matt Dillon, and you know, he's still out there trying. And Matt Dillon is a solid actor. He comes in, he does his work. He's never outstanding, but you can rely on him. He's believable.
He's always on time for rehearsal. You just know that about him. He never misses a mark.
Nope.
But he is solid. He is workmanlike.
I'm going to give him he's saying he's in a B movies, but he is a B actor. Yeah, if you want somebody that you know can perform, is going to be there, be on their mark, know their lines, and I don't know if this is true or not, but I just think that he's reliable, and his part, I think, works very well, because he does what we kind of expect him to do, so. Mm-hmm. Kenneth Walsh, who I kept thinking was Kevin What's-His-Name from Usual Suspects, a stand-up comic. Not Kevin.
Kevin Pollak.
Kevin Pollak. Because he looks kind of like, what if Kevin Pollak got old and did an Irish accent?
And was Irish, yeah.
I kept saying, is it him? No, it's not. It's somebody named Kenneth Walsh. I don't know Kenneth Walsh. Do you know Kenneth Walsh?
I know him from one. I looked him up. I've seen him in like one thing, and that was way back, the original Twin Peaks series. He played a bad guy named Wyndham Earl.
Oh, okay. I never seen the show. So
that's it.
Yeah. He's pretty good. And actually, there's a scene where he has to go up with somebody that he doesn't want to go up with, because apparently they ended badly. And quite honestly, their scene together is terrific. The Olga and Patty scene is hilarious. Yep.
Olga, who's in the cast listed as Olga something long, because she has a very long Russian or Bulgarian name.
Yeah, she has no photo, and she's barely there. She's fine. But the scene with the two of them together is really funny. And quite unnervingly, Patty spends a number of other scenes looking really sweaty, so I think that wasn't their only liaison.
No.
if Devin Bostick is Ponch, he's there. Yeah. It's fine.
Yeah, there's a bunch of others.
Yeah, I think we're down to and the rest. Yeah, pretty much. Pretty much. Don't forget K. Trevor Wilson as beefy guy number two.
I know which one it was. They were the bodyguards for Bart Kowiak, however you pronounce his name, Eugene Lipinski.
Yeah.
Gott McRickard is listed as beefy man, and K. Trevor Wilson is listed as beefy guy. Why is that?
That's a subtle thing, Max. I'm surprised you didn't pick up on it. Because
I didn't.
K. Trevor was way more guy-like. And Scott McCrickard was much more manlike.
Okay.
It's subtle. It's an acting thing. I wouldn't expect you to understand.
Wow. Yeah, that's something I just did not pick up.
I don't even know if that's official. It's just on IMDb, so who knows? Yeah, who cares? Yeah. So we have a switcheroo thing going on in the beginning of the film where we've got the Uncle Patty character pretending to be an expert in... He puts the nice Gauguin painting in the Easy Bake Oven and pushes the button to see if it's...
I was like, are you microwaving it?
I mean, the nice thing is that there are so many different ways that you can authenticate paintings that it's not surprising that there would be some machine you would put it into. I mean, there are x-rays, lots of x-rays and stuff like that.
So there is such a thing as a authentomatic, apparently? Well,
no. But it is a test. My guess is they were trying to test for the age of the paints and the wood or whatever like that. But, of course, Guy, a perfectionist, has to add a last dab of red, which I don't care what kind of paint he's using, it would not have been dried. And it isn't, to be fair.
No, it isn't.
But I also had to wonder, couldn't you have moved the little painting area a little closer to the lab where you were showing? Why did it have to be this?
You could have done it in a van or something.
Yeah. Like, why did there have to be a motor? Oh, opening action sequence. Okay.
Yeah. Yep.
Which, quite honestly, is pretty well shot. And it is pretty fun. It's crunch. Well, either way, it ends up the same.
Tell me you didn't think he was a Speed Racer villain. When you heard the name.
Honestly, it didn't occur to me.
Crunch Calhoun.
It didn't occur to me.
That was all I could think of. It's like some cousin of Cruncher Block.
Well, it could have been, but it did not occur to me. So yeah, there's a timing thing. So we open up with, quite honestly, some pretty obvious, predictable tension, but it works. Like, oh, we have to do something. We only have so much time. The bad guys can't find out. We have to get out of here with the real painting, so on and so forth. Mm-hmm. But there's a nice chase, and one of the gang members betrays the other. This is where we find Crunch going to Polish prison, which I'm betting is not a pleasant... Of course, going to any prison, but...
Prison is not fun in general, but a Polish prison, a lot of those Eastern European prisons are legendarily terrifying.
Yeah. Although, to be fair, the... scene of him walking through with his clothes we have seen many times before.
Yes.
Now, I mean, the two things I'm thinking is, one, I can see why there might be men that were attracted to Kurt Russell. Two, you probably shouldn't.
Although he ends up in a cell with these two enormous guys.
Yeah.
I do like his reaction to everything is, oh boy.
Yeah. I mean, it's Kurt Russell. I like Kurt Russell. I'm trying to think, have I ever seen Kurt Russell anything I didn't like? And I don't think I have. Even Captain Ron.
Really?
It was humorously stupid. I didn't like the movie, but he was funny because he was being dumb.
Okay.
I'm thinking Overboard. I'm sorry. That's the one.
That both are him.
Yeah. So, but I'm thinking of Overboard in particular. Because Captain Ron's the one that's like, you know, Pirates of the Caribbean. That's Captain Ron, isn't it?
Yeah. I don't know. I never saw it.
Oh, well, Max. Mm-hmm. Never mind.
Yeah.
So, yeah, the opening is predictable. It's not new, but it's well shot. And I thought it was interesting, and I wanted to see what was going to happen. And also, we get, if this is a rarity, I can't even point at another example of this, we get an in-movie excuse for filming in Canada, and it's actually Canada.
And it's supposed to really be Canada, except when it's Amsterdam.
Yeah. But, you know, some of the places, like, I know the border crossing they're trying to make, it's actually not that far from here when they're trying to go to Detroit. I do actually like when he drives onto the ice at one point, and there's an ice cream truck, and like, hey, how's business?
Slow.
Really slow. Because they will occasionally do that. As a side note, just because there's not a lot of trivia, during the Prohibition era, they actually would set up liquor stores on the river.
Oh, wow.
And people would drive out because, you know, oh, we're right over the border, because apparently the border goes right along the middle of the river. But that was a thing. So I don't know if that was a
thing. Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah. So when Dylan gets caught, Matt Dillon and Nikki Calhoun, and in the airport, and he's got a painting, and they're like, well, we know this is fake, and they spray it with this solvent.
Acetate, you know, I think. Yeah.
Well, whatever. Well, acetate wouldn't do jack to acrylic paint. But you don't get to just peel off a painting.
I was wondering about that. Do they actually put a layer of plastic or film or whatever that was?
All right, you had to ask. So I tend to watch videos on people restoring paintings.
Yep. Mike is our art expert, both on restoration and art crimes.
Yeah, I love both of those things. And there's somebody I watch every week. He restores museum quality paintings. Mm-hmm. And generally what you do is when you do any kind of retouching, at least he does this, because the deal today is everything needs to be reversible. So whatever I do, you can easily undo,
which has
not been true in the past in many cases.
Oh, yeah, like the paint overs are often just slap, slap, there.
Well, and sometimes it was a case of taste. They're like, well, that kind of dress isn't, or that kind of jewelry isn't in style anymore. Can you just paint something over that? And they'll just do that. And sometimes you can, strangely, it's this drying time. Like if the one original painting has had like 100, 200 years to dry, and you add another layer of the same paint on top, you may have 100 years to get that off without removing the underpainting. But yeah, you don't get to just peel off an entire painting. It doesn't work like that. So
I had a question also about when they're talking about they want to make the fakes of the Gospel of James.
Mm-hmm.
They say it's got to stand up to analysis and carbon dating.
Sure.
Can you fake carbon dating?
No. Well,
I did not think so.
To the best of my knowledge, no, because, of course, carbon dating is based on the decay of carbon-14.
Yeah.
And so I don't think that, at least if there is a way to do it, I don't think it's cost effective. So basically, I think what I'm trying to remember what this is. I want to say that there is a certain type of carbon that absorbs background radiation.
Yeah,
and you can age 14. Something by determining how much of the radiation has melted out, whatever, over time. Huh. Like, you can't fake that. But every once in a while, people find ways of faking stuff that I would never have guessed. There's apparently a crust that forms on marble statues that have been buried for a long time, and there's no way to fake it, except there is. Somebody figured out how to fake it with potato mold. It's just like, okay. But yeah, the whole fake painting thing, that didn't work. I will say, too, you and I often complain about product placement. In fact, last week's film made us both really thirsty for Pepsi, suddenly. We didn't know why.
Yeah.
We just worked.
Yeah, don't know why.
I haven't been there, not to this part of it, but never realized that Niagara Falls is an entire street of product placement.
I would not be shocked if I had to find that's true.
Like, hey, all of you franchises, give us money and we'll put you on our film. Sure, it's all in the same shot, but where else can you do it? Niagara Falls.
Yep. Slowly I turned. Yeah.
I didn't see the Ripley's Believe It or Not Museum, so, because I know that's there.
I didn't know that was there. Okay.
Oh, cool. Yeah. That's like a major attraction. Oh, and there's this waterfall.
Let's talk about the characters and their interactions. What did you think of them, like the two brothers?
Did you buy
that they were half-brothers, first off?
I'm not even sure if I care whether they're related or not. I believe they have known each other for a long time.
Mm.
And my note was, I thought there was good chemistry between the characters in general. Mm. I liked the way they worked together. I liked the way that Francie and Crunch worked together. We didn't get to see enough of it to really care, but the Crunch and Lola thing I was worried was, well, you married a younger woman and she's taking you for everything she's got. Well, it turns out, no, he trusts her, and for good reason. Mm.
Lola was an incredibly underused character. Yeah. I was hoping for more. I thought she would turn out to be the brains behind one side or the other.
Right.
That maybe she was manipulating everything.
Well, and we're meant to think that she and Nikki are going off and going to leave Crunch in the lurch.
Yeah.
Which, you know, again, we told you spoilers and we had the clacks on. So there's big twists in this film. But in general, I liked the way the characters worked together.
Okay.
I didn't think they were the most competent team in the world.
No.
But I still liked the way they worked out. And I think you're meant to have that false idea of their competency level. And it works towards the eventual reveal at the end of the film. Did you not like the chemistry?
I thought some of it worked really well. I really liked Crunch and Francie. I thought they worked well. Mm-hmm. I liked Guy with just about everybody. He was a lot of fun.
Yeah. Especially when he's on the phone and he's like, Crunch, how is it going with you? It's wonderful to hear from you again. Of course I'll do this job for you. Yes.
Yeah. I like how, Nikki calls and he won't even talk to him.
Yeah.
Crunch calls and he's like,
you are.
Which I think was a nice way to indicate what the characters are like. I thought Uncle Patty was basically a, you know, hello, I'm Patio Plot Device.
I mean, I don't know if he's Irish or not, but my feeling was not. I'd hate to find out that he actually was, but...
Well, yeah, the accent is a smidge cartoonist.
A little bit.
By the way, he is Canadian.
Well, he could be Irish-Canadian.
He was born in Alberta.
Maybe he's in the movie because he was just there.
I think maybe so.
Oh, here's this guy. We'll use him because we're actually...
Can you do an Irish accent? Sure and begorra. Okay,
Lucky
perfect.
Charms.
Yeah.
Sure, and there always Michael have to be Malley, Lucky
Michael
Charms.
Malley.
What? What? Sorry, that's a deeper.
Yep.
I liked it. I thought the chemistry was good.
Okay.
You know,
okay.
I'm glad they didn't try to force any more of a love interest in there than was necessary, because that would have been annoying.
I have to say, even though it's a tiny part of the movie, I liked him and Olga something long.
Yeah.
I thought the two of them were, you know, it's that whole, oh, I hate you. No, I hate you. And then immediately they leap into bed.
But the sex is fantastic.
And I like her line, I think I chipped a tooth. I'm going, yeah. Doing what?
I don't know, but again, he's sweaty for days, so.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you know, yes, Terrence Stamp probably did not bring his A-game to this film, but he also proved that he didn't have to, and he was still funny. One of the other lines that I wrote down was, you wouldn't know a vagina if it were 4 feet tall and staring you in the face. Then, especially well, like later that. On, there's a sculpture which is a 4 foot cube and quite obviously meant to represent a vagina. And,
yes,
and there's Interpol agent Bick going, I don't get it. What is it? It's staring you in the face.
It's 4 feet tall and staring you in the face.
Yep. Wonderful.
I do like when, you know, Bick is trying to be menacing and trying to scare Sam, you know, Terrence Stamp. So, you know, the only weapon I need is a pen. I can, you know, send you back to prison in a sec. I can do this with it. And then he yells at him at one point, I just want to stab you in the face and neck with my pen. Oh, is that your magic pen?
he's so fun. I like Terrence Stamp in general. I mean, of course, I'm looking at him going, should I think of him from Superman or should I think of him from
Priscilla, Queen of the Desert?
Is that an ABBA turd? Because he was wonderful in that too. But I will say there are some things in here, especially when it comes to the security. And we're going to get to that with our questions, if we have our questions. Mm-hmm. I do not believe for a moment that they would just leave Guy alone with the Gospel of St. James to authenticate it. It's like, there's only one room with no cameras and it has all the stuff in it. And we'll let you sit there alone, sure.
Long as you want. Yeah, that was a bit much.
So,
it's like, I know Canadians are very trusting people, but come on.
I'm going to take this book and just shove it in this vagina. Boop, doop. Because he does. I thought it was funny.
Yeah, I suppose they'll do that.
What did you think of the pacing?
I think for the most part, it's pretty good. I think it moves along okay. It slows down a few times.
I didn't really notice it slowing down. What would you say it slowed down? When did it
some of the conversations drag.
Okay.
Some of the scenes in the airport I thought were a bit much.
I thought they were actually cool. Well, the other thing is the film's only an hour and a half long.
Yeah.
It doesn't. It's not any longer than it needs to be.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have another note before we get to the questions?
Yeah. This movie was full of people that I thought I should recognize as someone who weren't.
Well, I had the problem with Uncle Patty, right?
It was like looking, oh, wow, who's this dirty Ernie? Stephen McHattie, he's got to be someone. No. the Reverend A.C. Peterson. No. Ponch? Devin Bostick? Who the hell is Devin Bostick? Yeah. Nobody.
No.
Nobody.
Well, I think the top money went to Kurt, and then probably Matt. Oh, no, Terrence Stamp. I'm sorry. Terrence Stamp.
Yeah, Terrence, I assume I think he got the bulk of the budget, and if he didn't, he should have.
Yeah, and I actually thought that the guy who was playing the priest, it's like, oh, is he going to end up being the Auror from Harry Potter? Oh, no, it's not him.
I kept expecting either the priest or the guy that the priest was working as the go-between. What's it, Friedman?
Yeah.
I thought they were going to turn out, one of them was going to turn out to be, oh, wow, it's that guy. It's like, nope, no idea.
Which is fine. I mean, it just goes to prove that there's plenty of other actors out there that deserve the work and don't get the money.
But it's nice they didn't do stunt casting. That's okay.
Yeah. No, there's no stunt casting in this film. I mean, you could make an argument for Terrence Stamp, I guess, but I don't even think stunt casting. So, but let's get to our series questions because we have series questions. So first off, was the loot worth all the effort? Well, in this case,
given
no.
not really. I mean, but given how little effort they put in.
Yeah. I mean, I actually found that kind of refreshing. Like, they were like, well, first Crunch comes up with his plan, and they're like, we're not doing that plan. No. They were going to take one aspect of it, and we're going to do that. And it's like, okay, good, because if you did that plan, it would feel a lot like Thomas Crown, but okay.
Yeah, yeah.
And they just pull it off, and it works. And I'm like, oh, so we're not going to do any of that. Oh, we have to have the giant AV ducks that are big enough for an army to go. No, we don't have to do that.
We don't need a computer guy to go, I'm in.
We don't even have a computer guy.
Nope, no computer guy. They even point that out.
I kind of liked that. It was like, yeah, we're not going to dwell on that part. That's not the, even though this is a heist film, that's not the important part. And I kind of liked that. I mean, it lets you know, something's going to go wrong. And that's when they introduced the Nikki part. And well, spoiler, I fell for it. But the book, when I did the research, I'm like, that, you know, I'm betting this Book of James things is not true. And even if it was Gutenberg, I'm betting it's not worth that much. And the answer to both those things was no, it wasn't.
Yeah.
But that being said, considering the effort that they went through, the answer is kind of I mean, even if they only make like a few million bucks off this. Oh, no, wait, that's right. There's no
it's
book.
All the painting. They made 10 copies of the what's his
Surratt.
Face? The Surratt, and they're going to get millions and millions for that.
So I guess the
answer is, because apparently criminals are stupid. But anyway.
Yeah. Well, here's the thing. The art world is exceedingly corrupt. And the deal is, people just want to make money. They don't want to look in and find out if something's real or fake or whatever. So if this had been an amazing work by Surratt, it wasn't. Honestly, it was a picture of the back of a fat guy not wearing a shirt. I'm like, okay, that's really up there. There's not even boobs in it. No.
Oh, okay.
If it was, she was built like a fridge. But so, okay, we'll pretend even the Gauguin was, it was okay, if it was even really a Gauguin. But the idea that you were selling it to people that know it's a stolen object, knowing your audience, so to speak, would actually probably work, because this is somebody who wants to own the painting and isn't going to tell anybody because they're not supposed to have it.
But won't they authenticate it or try a little?
But the thing is, there can't get anybody that is really accredited because that person will tell.
Yeah.
So knowing it was stolen and like, hey, here's the people who supposedly stole it offering it for sale. Why not? So I'm going to actually lean towards originally no, but with a little thought, I think it probably was worth the effort they put in because everything went fine.
Okay.
Is the plan believable? Well,
no.
Let's pair this with the next question, which is, does the security as depicted make sense?
Oh, God. I am sorry. I know it's supposed to be the Canadian Customs House. Customs houses are heavily guarded.
Well, remember when we did the score? Yeah, the score.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a big deal.
Yeah.
They have all kinds of contraband in those places. And they have, you know, going over the border, there's drugs, there's weapons, there's all kinds of stuff. They don't have three guards.
Yeah.
I don't care that they have 12 cameras. They don't have just three guards and one fence.
Well, remember that movie, Tenet, was that a Nolan film? I think it was.
Yeah, it was.
So one of the things in there is, rich people have art in these houses, these big warehouses that exist in places like Switzerland, because it's not really brought into the country, therefore it's not taxed. And the art never actually leaves there. They just have something worth value, and they will actually sometimes sell it out of there. But the amount of security on something like that, same thing. It's ridiculous. Yeah. So I'm going to say, because the answer to question number three is no, the answer to question number two has to also be no.
Yeah. No to both of those.
But I also did not miss not dealing with the computer guy, too. That was actually kind of nice.
No, I didn't need them to find you. Oh, I'm hacker nerd guy. Look, I play video games and live in my mom's basement.
That's Max's favorite part of heist films. He loves that part.
Oh, I love it so much. And I especially love it when they say, I'm in. It's even better if they do it several times.
Yeah. And then they say the name of the film in the film.
Yeah.
Number four, are the guards or cops underpowered? This is a weird question.
The border guard, played by Mike Wilmot, is a moron.
You know, I have crossed into Canada, into the United States from Canada. And sometimes they really don't care. I've actually had more trouble going into Canada than I have coming into the States.
Really? Were you gibbering, sweating, and having your fake beard start to fall off?
And
screaming in the most suspicious way possible?
No, but when we entered, there was a question about if we were bringing anything back, and the answer involved an embarrassing item, which, yeah, I won't go any further than that. But they did want to see it, and boy, did they wish they hadn't. So,
That's when you brought back your vintage DVD of Showgirls, huh?
No, it was Showgirls 2.
Ooh, boy. No wonder you were embarrassed.
Made for half the budget and none of the people. No, there, as far as I know, there isn't one. Yeah. I hope there isn't.
I bet there is.
The only thing I have to say to you is Freddy got fingered. I still do not forgive you for that. So in some ways, yes, because let's face it, if this was an Interpol thing, there are points where the Interpol just stops following them for no particular reason. And the border guards and the little art warehouse thing. So I'm going to have to probably lean on, the guards and cops are underpowered. Do we find ourselves rooting for the thieves?
Yeah, I guess.
Yeah, we like them.
They're okay.
Of course, thieves?
Yeah, that's the thing. I didn't root for Nicky to get his comeuppance.
Yep. Spoiler. Yeah.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah. No, I did too. That's actually one of my notes. But yeah, who are they ripping off? Well, rich people and paintings. And if somebody steals a couple of swirls of paint, I really don't care. Mm. Sorry, it's another deeper. I'll do what they tell me. But yeah, it's from Thomas Crown.
Oh, okay.
So yeah, they are our protagonists. And even though they are bad guys, we are happy to watch them and follow along with their antics, their hijinks. Sure. Edit, do you have any more notes?
Nope, I'm done.
No, I thought it was going to be a quick one this week. So.
Yeah.
Unedit. Well, Max, I don't know about you, but my list of notes is mostly at an end, which means that the show episode, you have one more thing, even though I asked you, I edited it out, and I wanted to make it a smooth transition, and I said, do you have any more notes? And you said no, so I could just get this through. You have to come in with something else. I hope it's good. Max, what is your point?
I love Francie's line with Agent Bick. When Agent Bick is trying to intimidate him, saying, you ever been inside Sing Sing? There are a lot of guys who would like to blank you in Sing Sing. And he just looks at him and goes, you hitting on me?
Which is the proper response.
Yeah, I thought, okay, that may be the funniest line in the movie.
No. I'm going to go with the, he is the Johnny Appleseed of sperm. So, but
now I'm done.
Oh, you're done.
The finish.
So Max.
Yeah.
Never heard of it before.
Never saw it. Never knew anyone who saw it.
Didn't really know what you were going to see, what to expect.
Nothing,
that kind of thing.
No idea what to expect, except I assumed it was a heist film.
So what did you think of The Art of the Steal?
Meh.
Okay.
I was not impressed. Some of the acting is fine. I'll watch Kurt Russell do almost anything, and him and Jay Baruchel, they're great together. And again, Terrence Stamp, I'll watch read the phone book. But this was so unoriginal, and so you could see all the movies that they were ripping off every 2 minutes.
Like what?
Ronin, Ocean's 11, the original one, the Thomas Crown Affair, both the original and the remake. Even what we saw, the score, it was basically every heist movie cliche without, except for the computer guy. Right down to the betrayal and the fact that, aha, this was happening the whole time. Which, quite honestly, I saw coming about 3/4 of the way through the movie. I knew they were setting Nicky up. I couldn't figure out quite what they were doing, because honestly, some of it just didn't make sense. I still maintain, if you sell 10 copies of the painting to 10 different criminals, these guys talk to each other. They brag about their collections. And there's something oh wait, you got that one? I got that one. Uh-oh. Well, let's go murder everybody. So, again, nice try for the actors. I didn't like the movie. What about you? How did it work for you?
My last note was fun and entertaining, if not totally believable. I liked it.
Okay.
I did not see the twists coming. I thought it was fun. Was it original in a lot of places? No, but I liked the way the characters worked. I liked everyone's performance. I was brought along for the ride. I had fun. I did like it. Again, they took part of the plot from a book I'd read, but how many people have read The Vanished Smile about the theft of the Mona Lisa? Mm. I don't know. Sometimes this happens.
Even that Mona Lisa story bothered me. Masterminded it, wanted to sell copies and make a fortune. Tell me if I'm wrong.
You're wrong.
Before the theft of the Mona Lisa, nobody gave a crap about that painting.
It was not the worldwide thing that it became, but that being said, there were people who still wrote love letters to her and would leave flowers for her. She okay. still had to have a case around her, which is what the guy's job was, to keep people away from the painting. So it's a Da Vinci painting, so even without being the giant thing with songs about it that it is now, it was still pretty big. It just wasn't as worldwide a thing. But art connoisseurs, quite honestly, in 1911... the plan probably would have worked. And the fun part was, it's a conspiracy theory. Like, there are people who believe that the Mona Lisa that is being shown right now is not the real one. They know that there's at least one master copy. It actually hangs in the office of the guy who runs the place. They say that after the theft, the Louvre was too afraid to ever show the real one again, and so it stays in the safe, and the fake one is the one that we all see, because you can't get that close to it, and it's behind this big Perspex case that you can't really see that well through.
True.
So, but quite honestly, back in 19... even now, people who have art collections, you may say, oh, they like to brag. Not if they have stuff that's stolen, they don't.
I mean, brag to other criminals.
No, no, they wouldn't sell it to criminals. They'd sell it to art collectors. That was the whole point. They would sell the copy of, I've got this amazing Gauguin that, you know, never has been sold on the public market. I got it from a museum. Wouldn't you like to own that? Because it's like this great Gauguin or whatever, or Seurat.
Okay.
Again, they could have picked a better Seurat, like, really. Yeah. The problem with Seurats is they tend to be huge, but, you know. Yeah, I enjoyed it. It's not the greatest. I give it a solid B. I had fun. Quite honestly, I enjoyed it better than I enjoyed The Mandalorian and Grogu, I'll tell you that.
Yeah, well, you know, those are pretty much very similar movies.
Very similar. There are thieves in both of them. But anyway, what else I would like to get back to? Clunky, clunky, clunk, clunk, clunk. That was my transition, not turning over. Anyway, we'd like to give you that poll question and how to answer it again. So the poll question for this week is, which actor do you think just doesn't get enough work? Who have you seen just too little of on the big screen?
Franz Josef Halbwitz.
Is he an actor?
Oh, yeah. He's
I thought he was a historian.
Actor. Terrific.
Oh, okay. Sure. Look him up on IMDb. I dare you. But how can you answer said question, you might ask? And I'm not even going to ask Max to ask because he screwed up my transition earlier. You can email us directly at us@maxmikemovies.com. We'll take your email. We will put it up on our scripts and we will read it out loud. And we will always thank you for your answers. Thank you.
Hello.
For your answers. You can also just go to our website, Max.
I dare you to type that out.
I did. That's the problem. MaxMikeMovies.com, where we have all of our episodes. Again, we have a search feature, so if you want to see if we've done that movie, heck, we do it all the time because we forget. And you can leave comments, talk to Vince, or maybe Cheese Boy will show up, and you can leave an answer, give us suggestions, reviews, whatever you like to do. We love to see your comments. MaxMikeMovies.com. We are on just about every podcast app known to man. Mm-hmm. As for social media, we are on Blueski and Facebook, which is where most of you tend to give your answers. You can find us both of those places under Max Mike Movies. But if you really want to aim an arrow straight to the heart, especially of Max, you will call us on our hotline.
Why do you say hotline like that? What is it about is the hotline?
Well, the thing about it is 617-398-7266. That number again, 617-398-7266. But this was only episode 5 of our 8 film series on heist films. Max, what is going to be film number 6?
Well, this one is about the theft of a specific kind of rare tropical fish.
Oh, a fish called Wanda?
No, it's called a copy. And
that's an antelope, isn't it?
No, that's a carpy.
No, okapi. It's a
okapi? African. Yeah. Oh, that's with an O, right? No, this is with an A.
Oh,
yeah. So it's about. Oh, hang on. I think I read it wrong. It's top copy.
Oh, so it's the number one tropical fish.
Exactly. The number one cloned tropical fish.
Cloned?
But yeah,
top it's a copy.
Yeah.
I see what you did there. I don't like it.
So, I get it. I don't like
this. This is a film about stealing a cloned tropical fish.
I have no idea. I have never seen this.
What year is this film from?
It's from the 60s, actually. I believe it's 64.
Cloning, huh?
They were very advanced.
Uh-huh. Tropical fish. You have no idea what this movie's about, do you?
No clue. No clue. I know Peter Ustinov's in it, and that's about it.
Ustinov, sure.
Ustinov.
Why do you say Ustinov because... like that? What do you know about his Ustinov?
Well, because it's got Ustinov of him in it.
Right. So next week,
I'll see myself
willing,
out.
Please show back up.
Yes, come back to Mike Top Movies. Copy.
This has been a co-production of The Voice of Max and The Movie Wrench.